You're listening to the Fat Dude Digs Flicks Movie Podcast Network. And now, the Criterion Break. And salutations, everyone, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Criterion Break. I am one-third of the hosting trifecta, Andy, the resident fat dude from Fat Dude Digs Flicks, joined, as always, by the Martin Short to my Chevy Chase, Blake Ginnethan. Blake, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. You nailed the short part of that. So
I would like to say that I intentionally planned that, but I was like, I think that Derek is more the Steve Martin. So the Steve Martin to my Chevy Chase and Blake's Martin Short. Derek Varenk. Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm all thawed out from this weekend, warmed up and ready to go.
Ooh, we are all located in the Sioux Falls, South Dakota area, and I believe as most of the northern part of the country has experienced, and I think even in the south they've experienced some chilly weather laced with snow and ice. So I hope everyone who's listening is staying warm. If this is your first time listening to the Criterion Break, thank you so much for joining us. The Criterion Break is a podcast where three friends talk about their love for the Criterion Collection proper and the Criterion Channel. Now, this week we're doing something a little bit different from the normal format, but something that we've done for the last 2 years, and that is kind of a, would you say, like a retrospective of the last year's offerings from our local independent and art house theater, the State Theater. It is a place where we, I would say, kind of our home away from home for all of us. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
definitely me, yeah.
Yeah, it's the place where we are the most when we're not in our own dwelling. And as always, another great year of programming at the State. Just a great, great place to be. So we're going to kind of talk about the things that we enjoyed, different, you know, movies that were featured that were kind of outside the box, just the whole year in general. So this is kind of our salute to year three of the State Theater. I would say kind of in general, guys, how was your experience with the State just this year? I think that's really a very boring question to ask because I think I know what our answers are, but I'm just kind of curious, like what were the things that kind of, like, I don't know, because it is our home away from home, what's kind of the thing that really stood out to you, or how did this year at the State make you feel? Derek, I think you were, I think now it's actually kind of a competition between who's there more, Derek or Blake, because, you know, Derek's there to watch movies all the time, and Blake, you're working there quite frequently, so who's there the most? But I'll start with Derek. Derek, what was your year at the State like?
I would say, I mean, it was a very enthusiastic year for me. I'll get into the details a little bit, but I kind of look back on it as a very perceptible year of growth in terms of community attendance, in terms of big draws, in terms of, you know, just kind of continuing, you know, continuing to instill itself in the community, as it were. And I think, you know, from the beginning of the year to the very end, again, I'll do the blow-by-blows about it later, but there were a lot of fun experiences, a lot of packed houses that really made my time there very enjoyable.
I think that'll be a lot of fun to talk about because I think that's something I want to make sure we mention too, because it was really cool. Even the showings that I didn't make it to, it was really cool to kind of see how the numbers of people in attendance has certainly grown over this last year. Blake, for you, how was your year at the State? What kind of stands out to you?
Just meeting a lot of like really enthusiastic people coming in to watch a movie. Whether like they were just like single serving individuals or sort of like new friends that we've sort of made and have brought into our, you know, like our little movie crew that we have. And so it's kind of been fun growing that. Yeah, like you said, I worked a lot more than movies. I worked a lot more than watching actual movies this year, but I will say like the movies I saw were pretty great. It was while I really haven't been there much in the past, I don't know, 3 months, it's sort of really wild to watch holiday attendance just absolutely skyrocket compared to last year.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. Like you said, especially the holiday movies, but everything else, it's like, you know, people have been going and people have really been enjoying themselves. But like, I think when all of the holiday titles were announced, it felt like they were just selling out screenings right away. And to try and find a seat, it was like, you know, one by itself in the middle of a row somewhere, or, you know, it was very difficult. So I just think that's great. I think it's really cool to watch how this theater has kind of become the gem of downtown. Like, I think we all definitely wanted it to be. So I just think it's really cool. I for me, like, this was the year where, you know, I'd like to every year make sure that I see a lot of movies, and, you know, I'll kind of spread that out around the theaters. But I think there's a very overwhelming majority of movies that I saw at the state as opposed to, you know, seeing anywhere else. I think it was just, I still made it to the other movie theater, but I think I was at the state much more frequently. And I really just appreciated what the variety of movies at the state were. It was like, you know, it wouldn't always be you know, a kind of artsy indie. It wouldn't always be like a weird horror movie. It was just a little bit of everything. And I really enjoy that the state kind of has that wide variety of movies to choose from, so that anybody from any walk of life would find something to enjoy and appreciate there. So let's kind of dive into that programming, that variety that the state offers. Do you want to do this season by season, Derek? Would that be a good way to...
Yeah, I think that's fair. In fact, I did want to start at the very beginning, because so this will serve as a great tee up for conversation, or at least a little bit of reflection. But so the very first movie I saw in 2023 at the State Theater, I believe this was, let me calculate, I believe it was Wednesday, January 4th. And the movie I saw was a movie that Andy picked, called The Iron Giant, because Andy programmed 5 movies at the State Theater to kick off the year. Yeah. And I know we talked about it through several episodes back in January, but I at least thought it would offer it up to Andy to have some reflective thoughts a year past.
You know, it was a really, really cool opportunity to be able to select, you know, 5 movies that, you know, I think there was a good variety, much like the rest of the state's programming. I thought I had a pretty good variety there of things that, you know, people had seen before, people would like, and then, of course, things that people didn't have an experience with. And I think I do wish that maybe the ones that people hadn't seen before would have done a little bit better. But, you know, I can't drag people to the theater. But I do think it was just really cool for me to get the opportunity to see, you know, that I imagine the state probably would have screened The Iron Giant at some point in time. You know, probably the same with Leon the Professional. Those two would have screened at some point in time. But it was really cool to get to see Tokyo Story and 2 Days, 1 Night. And I think probably Safety Last would have screened at some point too, especially with, you know, Silent Film Day. I think those are ones that would screen. Yeah, Derek.
Yeah, which they screened another Harold Lloyd film as part of that, yeah. The Freshman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's so cool that you know, that those movies are playing there. And I desperately want, you know, to have another crack at it. And I I wish that I could be like, well, yeah, I'm totally going to pick movies that people are going to want to run out to see this time. That's probably not the case. Like, it's probably still going to be like a couple that people would really love, and then a couple of kind of outside of the ordinary, that just are ones that kind of speak to me, that I think, I think people would like if they saw them, but they're not going to be like big name titles. So I was super honored to get a chance to program a few weeks of movies, and I just, I had a great time with it, and it was an honor. Like, it really was. It was just a really cool chance to get to pick some movies that people could enjoy. So yeah, I really had a great time with that in January. It was a lot of fun for me.
Cool. I'll just use this moment to insert a little bit of trivia since this is the Criterion break. I did want to call out that there were 17 Criterion titles that played at the State Theater in 2023. Three of them were ones programmed by Andy: Tokyo Story, 2 Days, 1 Night, Safety Last. Another was programmed by Blake, which is
Yep.
Chungking Express. We also had, I'll just go down the list, Arsenic and Old Lace. Two Coen Brothers movies, Inside Llewelyn Davis and Blood Simple, Elevator to the Gallows, WALL-E, Adoption, Rushmore, The Big Chill, The Freshman, The Innocents, The Silence of the Lambs, Diabolique, and The Third Man. So just wanted to get that out there for posterity's sake.
Yeah, I listening to that list, I was like, I feel bad because I didn't make it to as many of those I wish I would have. But I did have a really great experience with, especially Elevator to the Gallows. That was the first time that I had ever seen that, and I just thought that was a ton of fun, and getting to watch that on the big screen for the first time. Yeah, that was just super cool. So always really exciting to get to see the Criterion titles on the big screen. Derek, I'm sure you saw most, if not all, of those when they screened, right?
Yes, I don't think I missed any of those, to be perfectly
Awesome.
honest, looking at that list. But
That's
yeah,
awesome.
great stuff all around.
Yeah. Blake, did you check out many of the Criterion titles that played at the State this year? I don't know exactly what your I know you ended up seeing Chungking Express, of course, but did you catch many of the other ones that screened?
My letterbox shows that I saw Rushmore and future Criterion movie Top Gun Maverick is the other one I
Oh,
saw.
sure.
So
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
No, I just saw Chungking and Rushmore.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. All right, Derek, let's keep the season moving.
Just some noteworthy things in January. Also in that first week of January, we had EO, which is not an official Criterion title because it is a Janus Contemporaries title. I know I have to be a stickler, but we all saw that. We had a great time with that. We also had Skinamarink, one of the more hotly debatable new releases of 2023 when all was said and done. We also had the big screen event of All Quiet on the Western Front, which I know we are all at. We also had the first late night of 2023, which was Friday the 13th Part 3 in analog red and blue 3D. An experience that was, well, an experience. So I'll pause there before I get into February, if any of you guys have anything you want to say.
Yeah, Blake.
I mean, Friday the 13th is like one of the few movies I've ever walked out of. I think Andy, actually, I think I sat next to you for that, and I leaned over and I'm like, I can't do this, and I had to leave. I went home and watched it on like regular, HD quality. It was really cool to experience Skinamarink. Actually, Andy, I sat next to you for that one, and I had an absolutely like I was petrified during that entire movie. I had a hoodie on and I tied the strings around my face so I could barely see the screen, and definitely, like, for me, it's the horror movie of the year. So, and then I know I sat next to Derek for EO and All Quiet. We were up in that D12 and 13 or something seats. Yeah. And those were both just incredible screenings to be a part of. Both did really well, actually, with ticket sales. So that was pretty cool to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two last movies, All Quiet on the Western Front and EO, I think they ended up cracking my best of the year list. I enjoyed those experiences so much.
Me too.
Yeah, just incredible, incredible. Skinamarink, man, like I the entire movie, I was absolutely terrified. Like I didn't know what was going to happen next. I felt like there was a chance that anything could happen at any time, and that feeling was just. It was really great for a horror movie to feel that way. And then the movie ended where I felt like nothing had happened and mm-hmm. I was upset. And so I think that's why that movie doesn't sit well with me, because it's all of this build up for nothing, but I have a hard time completely dismissing it because of how it made me feel through the entire runtime. Like I genuinely was frightened that something awful was going to happen. And, you know, I felt that way with the Blair Witch Project too, which I feel is much more, ultimately much more successful because it feels like it tells a story. But Skinamarink was one that I think that's one that I was disappointed with, but it's always hard for me to be completely against it because like you, I was petrified like the entire film just because I didn't know what was going to happen next. Yeah, I thought January was a really great kickoff to you know what 2023 would bring the state. So yeah, good stuff.
All right, moving on to February, and I'll kind of include a little bit of early March in here because this is kind of where the state really kicked into high gear with Oscar season, and then I guess getting back to that whole like aspect of growth, it really was encouraging to see like people coming out and selling out showings of The Whale or The Fablemans or Women Talking, which pretty much came to Sioux Falls pretty much because the state brought it in because it wasn't there until like the weekend of the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Even Everything Everywhere All at Once, which had played in 2022, which had sold out every show in 2022. And despite having been out for like a full year when it came back around Oscar time, it sold out pretty much all of its showings in March of 2023 as well, both before and after the Oscar ceremony. So that was... Wow. Very cool and promising as part of that, as well as bringing in some other contenders like Empire of Light, Living, Close, some good selections there. Other stuff in February, some Valentine's Day related programming, Pretty Woman, The Wedding Singer, Say Anything, a nice trio of romances from early in our lives there. We had the second late night of the year, which was The Beyond, the Composer's Cut, I believe is the subtitle on that particular edition of the movie. But I'll pause there for a little bit because, you know, obviously trying to kind of bring in like the big Oscar players is always a tricky endeavor in part because you're kind of waiting until the Academy makes their decisions to figure out how it goes. But in this case, I think that lineup pretty much paid off across the board in 2023, at least in my perspective.
Yeah, and I think it was rewarding too, you know, even the movies that maybe didn't get the nominations that may have been projected to get. You know, I think it was still rewarding to get a chance to see those on the big screen at the state. Even for me, like I ultimately don't think I cared for Empire of Light, but I think it was a beautifully filmed movie. And so getting to see it on the big screen was really nice. The late night was The Beyond. A movie that I was very excited to give a second chance to, because I was not a fan of it the first time I watched it, and that second time around did not help anything. But it was still a fun night. It was always nice to be at the state and hang out with you guys when you're there. Blake, what were your thoughts on February?
Well, I only saw the Beyond.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was my one night at the state. And on a personal note, that was the night my son was conceived. So,
Yeah.
I'll never forget that night. Yeah, I should have named him Lucio now that I think about it. Like, I don't know what I'm thinking. I really screwed that up, but
Yeah.
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Movie may have been bad, but everything else was real good.
it was a great night. I know, look, for real though, like late nights you just can't beat, because there's a vibe there. And there's an energy with that crowd, and like you walk, like you know how it is. We're all sitting in that top row and waiting for people to come in, and you see like zombie T-shirts and Friday the 13th T-shirts, and people wearing all black and lots of tattoos, and it's like, okay, these are my people here. They're coming in, and they're two beers per person type of, not literally, but they're getting, they're getting liquored up, and it's, the crowds for the state for the late nights, they're getting not that they're ever bad to begin with, but they're just getting more and more animated. Like, and we'll get to the big one at, in October, that I really had a great time with. But it's just a lot of fun, the late nights.
It was a good, it was as much as I didn't like the movie, it was still a good time to get to be there. So, Derek, we'll go ahead and move forward with March.
So the big thing happening in March and April is the annual Directors Series, which this year was the Coen Brothers. I thought this performed quite well. I mean, the movies you would expect to perform out of the Coen's canon did just that. Big Lebowski, Oh Brother Where Art Thou, Fargo, those ones perform or playing to sellout or near sellout crowds. So that was all very fun. Also in March, we had Soul, which I only find funny because right now Disney is doing the whole, yep, we're bringing Soul and Turning Red and Luca back to theaters. And here's the state doing that a year ahead of time with Soul and Turning Red, which I thought was fun. Let's see here. What else did we have in March? Oh, yeah, we had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. Just a fun little bit there. And it was fun because before the movie, Steven was playing the 90s cartoon TV show theme before the movie, and actually playing the introduction to the TV show before the movie proper, which was just a treat, just a treat. Other things in March, we had the third annual April Fool's Day mystery movie. This year it was the first Austin Powers that was revealed as the mystery movie. We also had the next late night. This was in mid-April, which was Smoking Causes Coughing, a bit of different fare in terms of your usual late night fare, but it was a fun roll of the dice and something different. So I did enjoy that. And then just some other catalog classics like Animal House and Speed to top off April. So yeah, that's March and April all at once.
I don't know how I should go back and I should check out my Letterboxd to see how often I was there in March and April, because with those titles, I don't know that I was. I know I was there for Smoking Causes Coughing, because
Yes.
I had an absolute blast with that. Like, just a weird totally weird I don't even know what to call it. It was definitely a comedy, but like the weird kind of like dark comedy, twisted blend. And I
Power
still have
Rangers
not.
aesthetic.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. And like that movie is kind of stuck with me a little bit because it was just so offbeat. And I desperately wanted to watch the rest of that director's kind of filmography, but I kind of dropped the ball and didn't quite get to it. And I think I had started Rubber before before seeing that one, and I didn't get to
Okay.
finish it. And then they had removed it from like whatever streaming service, because that's what
That's how it
streaming
happens.
services do.
Yep, that's how they get you.
I did see there's a movie that filmmaker made about a jacket. Gosh, I feel it's always bad, Derek, when like I'm thinking of these movies and like my brain is not
Oh,
fully processing. Yes,
deerskin,
with the actor from The Artist, if I recall correctly.
John Dujardin.
Yeah, and that movie was not like bonkers in a super wild way, but it was just another kind of like offbeat movie, and that was the only other movie that
Okay.
I had experienced that from that director. And I had a good time with that one too. So yeah, I would say that I enjoyed what I did get to see that month, but I don't think I was there that often. I'm guessing, Derek, and this is always the guess, is that you were there quite frequently for most of those. How was seeing Speed on the big screen? Because I know that's one that you really
Oh,
enjoy.
yeah. So I kind of, this is kind of weird because when this first came up as they announced they were that Steven was going to show Speed, this is right in the wake of John Wick Chapter 4, so it's kind of trying to cash in on, the wave of goodwill for Keanu at that particular point. And yeah, and so humorously, Steven and I were talking, and I was like, or I think Steven was like, Justin, like, you're going to go to this all 5 times we show it, aren't you? And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I will. And guess what? I did. I saw Speed five
Nice.
times at the State Theater.
Wow.
Blake was there with me the first night, because I know this is very high on Blake's list of stuff to see at the State as well. And we had a great time. Speed is just arguably my favorite action movie of all time. And it just moves, as someone who's listening to the 50 miles per hour year-long podcast that's a deep dive on the making of Speed.
Oh, wow.
It's just a fascinating process of how that movie got made, especially as an inflection point, in the shift toward, CG effects and all of that. And it's just a fun movie, and I was really glad to see it at that particular time. So yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, Blake, for you, I know, I think between the three of us, like all three of us really hold that movie in high regard.
Yeah.
How was it for you to get to see Speed on the big screen?
It was really cool. I had a great time. I wish I had gone back again and watched it like from like the third or fourth row to
Yeah.
get that overwhelming like big picture, big screen over me type feeling. But I have to, like Derek said, we both hold this movie in high regard, and I mean, just to see it once in the theater was enough for me. And
Yeah.
generally, when I want to see a movie now, I tell my wife like, hey, this is gonna play. I want to see this. I need to see this, and I carve out time. And I, you know, I it's a, and th this was one of those things where I was like, I'm not missing this movie. And
Yeah.
yeah, it was great. It brought me back to the time where I first watched it on VHS when I was, gosh, how old? 11, 10 years old when I first
Yeah.
saw it. So, yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, just a great action movie. Definitely one of my top five action movies of all time. I think it's awesome. Derek, how about the month of May?
Yeah, so for the second year in a row, May at the State Theater was largely dedicated to showing the Star Wars original trilogy. And much like the first time in 2022, these Star Wars showings pretty much sold out across the board, which is always exciting. We don't know yet if there's going to be a year three of this Star Wars tradition. We'll find out in the spring. But otherwise, May also had a bevy of new releases. We had Beau Is Afraid, another great conversation starter of a movie, if there ever was one, amplified by the fact that the State played that hardcore for like 2 full weeks, so that was exciting. They also played Kelly Reichardt showing up. They played How to Blow Up a Pipeline. There was the late night that month, which I was not at, was Perfect Blue, again,
Oh.
taking the late night vibe into different corners. So I know you guys will be able to speak to that show. And just some other miscellaneous stuff like the aforementioned Elevator to the Gallows screening or Wall-E at the State or City Slickers. So very nice May.
I want to talk for a second about a movie that I didn't care for, and it's not Beau Is Afraid, because that wasn't one of my favorite movies of last year. But there was a documentary that played in May that I was really excited for, because the concept of it sounded really cool. And then the next month, or not the next month, but in July, there was another documentary that I was excited for that also didn't quite land for me. But 32 Sounds, I thought it was going to be something that was a lot more interesting and engaging, and I don't know, it just kind of it didn't quite hit for me, and I felt a little disappointed in that one. I don't know if that was something that you had felt as well. And Blake, I don't even know. Did you end up seeing 32 Sounds?
Nope.
Yeah. I don't think you missed anything. But Derek, what were your kind of thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the fact that this is being promoted was like, this is going to be this sensory experience. You know, the way that, you know, Steven arranged the showing at the theater was that they closed off like the upper balcony area and the wings and tried to focus the entire audience, like the center of the theater for the optimal sound effects. I think it had, I think to get to your point, Andy, I mean, it had some concepts to work with. I don't think it ever found a way to kind of like coalesce them into a unified whole as an approach. But I was definitely up for at least trying to win. I think I saw recently that 32 Sounds won like a major documentary prize within the past week in awards season as like some sort of like shocker or surprise. I'm gonna look this up.
Yeah, and I think it made the short list too. Like, I don't remember. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I had read that it was somewhere. That was kind of like, oh, okay, well, this made some big deal. Maybe it's the same thing you're talking about, and I just am misremembering exactly what it was.
Yeah, the Cinema Eye Honors. This was 4 days ago, winning top nonfiction film as well as winning awards for its music and its sound design. So I wasn't aware of that voting body until I saw that press release, but I did find it funny that that movie came back out of nowhere in the awards conversation. So we'll see what happens.
Very interesting. The rest of that month, like I said, like we already talked about Elevated to the Gallows. That was really cool to see it on the big screen, and seeing that for the first time. But yes, the late night Perfect Blue. Wow. Like, I had seen it before, but seeing that one with an audience, Blake, what was your experience like with seeing Perfect Blue at the theater?
Well, if memory serves correct, that played right after How to Blow Up a Pipeline, like the same day. Correct. So, sort of like you only have like an hour to come down from that intense movie. But I guess like this wasn't a normal like late night. It felt like there's might be like it was less seen, and I could be wrong about that, but it felt like this was more of an anomaly for people than anything. And go ahead, Derek.
It was the Memorial Day holiday weekend, so that probably depressed a bunch of the crowd right there.
Well, I think there was like a good 75, 80 people there, so I think it was a pretty decent crowd.
Good.
But I mean, this is not like wasn't like your typical like late night like bloody slasher wild movie. This was more of a cerebral I don't like the term mind fuck, but like that's kind of like the only thing I really think of. But like it was this it wasn't like a scare, not a, I mean, there were some scare scenes, but like it felt like it wasn't your typical late night. And the feeling afterwards, I'm not sure the audience really connected with it. And I'm not saying this was a bad pick, because, like, let's face it, guys, like, only one of us here chose at number three for the top horror movies of the 90s list when we did that whole thing. So
It's true. Subtle, subtle.
I'm a big fan of this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it landed with, like, I don't think people knew what to expect. Like,
Yeah.
because anime is almost like a hard sell in itself. And I'm a fan of anime. I'm not a big anime fan, but, like, I dig some of the stuff I've seen. But, like, people, I don't, like, this isn't one of the big anime movies. And so, when the crowd, when the movie ended, it really felt like people were kind of, like, left stunned a little bit. I mean, it's an hour and a half, like, psychological thriller, and then it kind of ends on this really weird, like, happy note out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And there is a very, I don't know if graphic is the word I'd use, but, like, it's a very intense sexual assault sequence, which I
Yes.
completely forgot about in the movie. Like, I completely forgot it was in the movie. So I
Yeah.
think that might have, like, and it wasn't played for, like, laughs in a way, like, where people, it almost like brain damage, where it's like, oh shit, this is so insane that you can't help but laugh at it. It was a pretty
Yeah.
serious sequence. So
Right.
it was a really interesting screening, and I would love to see it play again at some point.
Yep, I agree. I really was caught up in it, watching the movie that time. I thought it was a really exciting to see it at the
Yeah.
play at the state. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I think the response to it once the movie was over was one of kind of like not confusion, but just kind of like I don't know. There's always a sense of joy, it feels like, when a late night is over, just because
Yeah.
we've all been kind of like knocked out by this fun horror movie. And
Right.
this one is certainly not that. Not saying it's a bad movie, because I love it.
Yeah.
But it's a, like you said, a different vibe completely. And I don't think everybody was connected to just how dark and psychological it was going to be. But
Yeah.
still, for me, it was a really cool experience to get to see it
Yeah,
play at the state.
for me, a movie like that, it's just like the fact that it was programmed to begin with is, like, a big victory, I think. So I was really excited for it on that respect. And the fact that, like, half the theater was full for that, I thought was really cool as well.
Yeah, definitely. Derek, who we got next?
Yeah, so in June we had a good roster of new releases, in which kind of represent some of, like, the trends we saw this year. We started the month with Sisu, which was a movie that, for whatever reason, completely avoided Sioux Falls when it opened in late April of 2023. And there was kind of, like, this buildup of, like, people that wanted to see Sisu because the trailers looked great and it looked awesome and bloody and whatnot. And that was one that sold out, or got pretty close to selling out, both of its showings when it finally played here in June. We also had, on the new release front, You Hurt My Feelings with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which this is really kind of setting the stage of, like, there were a number of movies that, like, were playing in the multiplexes but then would come to the States several weeks later, like this, or Beau Is Afraid, or The Whale, which I found myself more and more just, as someone who sees all the new releases, or at least tries to see all the new releases that matter, finding myself more and more at that position of, like, I'm going to wait 2 or 3 weeks and then I'll watch it here. And then it kind of paid off. And it ultimately pays off very well at the end of the year, as we'll get to. We also had the June Pride series, which was Call Me By Your Name, But I'm a Cheerleader, The Birdcage, and In and Out. We had the big hit 2 week run of Twister, which is a delight to see in the theater again. Jan DeMont, still my guy, went there a lot for Twister, as I did with Speed. Also had Rushmore, which is interesting for two reasons. One, which being that the state played Rushmore the exact same weekend that Asteroid City opened in town. So that was a very funny shots fired type of thing. But then, of course, that night also stuck in my mind because that was the last night that Blake and I saw Corey after we watched Rushmore at the theater, which we've talked about that before on this show. Also, whatever happened to Baby Jane, and then at the very end of the month, Top Gun, which we'll probably save until July because that has its own Top Gun event of its own. So that was June.
Blake, how was what were your thoughts on the month of June? Anything that kind of stood out to you for your either enjoyment or just as far as memories were concerned?
Like Derek said, Rushmore was another movie that I wasn't gonna miss. It's probably my favorite Wes Anderson movie. The first one I saw, and I think it might be like if someone asked me a kid's best, I'd say it's his best movie. It was great to see it. I love. There's some movies where it's sort of like, it's sort of like. It might not be like the best movie ever, but it's just that movie that you're like, I'm giving this 5 stars. I love this movie. And I'd never got to see it in the theater when it was out. I discovered it on DVD, and it was just so great to see it with Derek and Corey. And I believe Lou was there as well with Corey. And I love that movie so much. I think it's one of my favorite movies. And then, of course, after the movie, like Corey and I yelling at each other about David Lynch for 30 minutes. And it's a bittersweet night. And I hope I never forget about it because, yeah, it was a great night.
I missed Rushmore that night. Didn't end up getting to see it when it played in the theaters here, but it is definitely my favorite Wes Anderson movie. I just think it's pretty hard to beat as far as in some of the other movies come close. But I still think Rushmore, there's something about it, maybe because it was the first one that I had seen, and just had such a connection to, the plight of Max Fisher that I was just kind of like, okay, I really dig this movie. So missed that one. But I did have a blast with Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I had so much fun with that movie. I just thought it was ridiculous, bizarre, just but a ton of fun. And yeah, I was totally locked into that movie. There was there's a supporting character in that movie who's like the son of some like I don't know some lady, and then he kind of like tries to date or has an attraction, maybe wants to like work with the Bette Davis's character. And I just liked the way that actor carried himself, that I was like, oh man, I have got to see more movies with this guy because I think he's a lot of fun to watch. I don't know that I have because I can't even remember his name right now. But I just really enjoyed his performance, along with the rest of the movie too. It's such a campy, bizarre, like not necessarily a horror movie, but it's a weird suspense, like comedy. I don't know. It's such an interesting movie, and I kind of fell head over heels for it, and had a really great time with that. But that one was probably the standout of the month for me, except I did really enjoy You Hurt My Feelings. I thought that was it was nice to see that kind of a movie play at the state, that kind of a movie like be made because it is new. Because I feel like a lot of those like low to mid budget adult contemporary comedies don't necessarily get made where it's just, I don't know, it's just a story of everyday life and everyday existence and a really kind of breezy movie, and I had a great time with that one too. So, those are the two standouts for me for the month of June.
All right. Going into July, it was sort of a Tom Cruise month because they started the month like 4th of July weekend playing Top Gun, and then they showed The Outsiders, the Francis Ford Coppola recut complete novel version, and then again, the state doing wacky counter programming and deciding, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is opening. So we're going to play Top Gun Maverick that weekend to compete against it, which I thought was kind of funny. And then Blake and I were at the Top Gun double feature that occurred at the state, which was a delight in and of itself. Other stuff in July, they played To Catch a Thief. I know Blake and I both showed up randomly on the 4th of July to watch that movie there that day. We had Lynch Oz, which is probably one of the bigger new release duds, at least in my opinion, of the entire year. Some good classics, A League of Their Own coming back to the state, My Girl playing at the state, that was a lot of fun. Jaws playing in the summertime. And then we had some great new releases, like Past Lives play there that month. Asteroid City came to the state that month. Joyland played there. Just an overall solid selection of stuff.
The only movie that I had seen at the state that month was Lynch Oz, and good Lord, what a disappointment of a movie. It was it and it's getting its own release through Janus Contemporaries. That should be a special feature on a disc. Like, that should not be a standalone movie. It should be a special feature. Because that's basically what it is. It's a compilation of video essays, some of them pertaining to David Lynch and pertaining to Wizard of Oz, some of them pertaining to the filmmakers who are doing the essay. Like, it's more about themselves and their work than it is about anything else. So just a bummer. Just a bummer of a movie. Never have I been. I don't know. That's not true. I've been more disappointed, but that one was just a real letdown. Blake, what was your July like?
It started July 1st, actually. I took my daughter to see Aladdin, and
Nice.
that was a lot of fun. She, it's I, you know, it's a lot of fun. She's 4, she'll be 5 very soon, and she's always like, I don't know if she's gonna be a cinephile or if anything. She's kind of turning out to be more like my wife than anything, but she still is always like, oh, are you going to the theater? And it's like, yeah. And she's like, well, I want to go. And it's like, well, I'm working, so I can't just take you along. And she's like, well, I just want to go. And she doesn't understand the concept yet of like, I just can't leave you like alone while I work or anything. But so whenever like a movie that they love plays, I try to take them. And this was a lot of fun because I got, it was just me and her. And yeah, we went downtown and got ice cream and. And went to Aladdin. I think it was like 11 o'clock or a 1 o'clock showing, and it was a lot of fun. I don't love Aladdin by any means. I would never say it's my favorite Disney movie or even top 20, but just seeing a movie with my kids is just brings me a lot of joy. That was a lot of fun. Like Derek said, I think I bought a ticket to Catch a Thief like an hour before it was supposed to play, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go. And it was a really big crowd. I mean, I remember like I saw Derek sitting in a weird place, and I was just like, I'm gonna go sit next to Derek. So Derek actually, well, maybe I shouldn't,
Like off on the side,
maybe I shouldn't say what Derek did, but Derek basically saved me a seat, and I went over there and we watched To Catch a Thief on the side, which is a lot of fun. What a really fun movie that was. The crowd was really into it. And I had never seen it before, so that was a lot of fun. And then yeah, I like, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say I remember commiserating at the time that I was recognizing that Blake kind of loves to show up for any movie at the state that Cary Grant is in, because he
Except
kind of
all
cuts
except for
through,
one.
but he saw most of them, which is pretty impressive. So.
And Derek might be onto something, but I swear I don't think about it. It's just sort of like, oh, I'm gonna go see North by Northwest, like North by no North by Northwest played, and I literally decided like 30 minutes before the movie started, I was like, I'm just gonna go see this. And so I and as you guys know, I work like a block from the State Theater, so I literally just walked right over, and I think it was like a 4 o'clock showing of it or 3 o'clock, and yeah, so that was a lot of fun. But yeah, as Derek said, I went and saw the Top Gun double feature with my wife, and she really wanted to go, and I really wanted to go because I missed Maverick during its run. Is it 2022 when it first played?
That correct.
It played like 11 or 12 times, and I didn't get to see it. I really wanted to. I told my wife Gina, like, I want to see this movie here. And so we went, my mom watched our kids, and we spent 5 or 6 hours at the State Theater. It was so much fun. Top Gun, the first one was fun on the big screen, and then Top Gun Maverick. Just, you know, watching Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick back to back, you don't realize how much Top Gun Maverick cooks when you see them like right after each other. Like, Top Gun Maverick just moves, man. It goes so quickly. And then what else is in July? Did Asteroid City play, or is that August?
Yes. That started end of July.
Okay, so I saw that one as well. I love that movie. Great return to form for Wes Anderson. And then was Talk to Me, or is that August?
That's August.
Okay, we'll wait then. But yeah, Asteroid City was a lot of fun. I think I sat next to Derek for that one. No, I sat in the corner for that one, I think
for I worked Asteroid that City, one. Yes.
Yeah, I worked that one and then went and watched it. That was a lot of fun. People really ate that up. People like lost their minds when the alien came down and was like looking, and everybody was like looking at the alien stealing that thing. That was a great one of my favorite moments of the year. Wes Anderson just crushes at the State Theater, and it's really cool that people just like dig him enough to just come out to everything that he does.
Yeah, I did see Asteroid City at the State. I had seen it previously, and I am on the other side of the Asteroid City conversation. So that's all I have to say about that. But I was at the State a lot the next month. What played in August?
Yeah, we had the staff pick of Starship Troopers to kick off the month.
Sick.
We had Babe. The Return of Dazed and Confused, Pillow Talk, which I know myself and Andy both saw. We had the Paul Rubens Memorial screening of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which was a sellout, which is a great grand old time. The very popular new release documentary Lakota Nation versus United States. Big with Tom Hanks. The aforementioned Talk to Me. The Neon 4K re-release of Old Boy, which brought out big crowds as well. The late night of the State showing of Reanimator. And then topping off the month, the surprise nearly sold out one night only screening of Slaughterhouse, which Andy and I were both at, and we had a ball of a time there. I was kind of surprised just how well Slaughterhouse did. Given the circumstances, I definitely didn't think that there was going to be such a huge crowd for that. Like, what was it, like 130 people or something like that?
It was a lot of people.
But it was crazy, and it was fun, and they were all into the spirit of the movie, and it was a very unexpected but delightful night with that. But yeah, a pretty jam-packed month in retrospect.
One guy was very into Slaughterhouse. I'll just say that.
Yeah, that was, man, that was something. Like he got told off and exited quickly. What a showing that one was. I did a bunch of I did a couple double features, I think, this month. One triple feature. I did Pillow Talk. Yeah, Pillow Talk, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and Dazed and Confused. I think we're all on the same day. So I did that. And then Grease and Reanimator, the sing-along version of Grease. I had seen that with, and then Reanimator was the late night. And that was a ton of fun as well. I'll talk about Slaughterhouse in a little bit, but Blake, I'll go to you first. What were your standouts for August?
Well, I only saw three movies this month.
Sure.
The first one was Talk to Me, which I thought was pretty good. And then, you know, like that was the three of us got to go out after that and kind of have a yeah. meal and talk about it. That was a great night. I actually like, yeah. I think I enjoyed that more than the actual movie, but
yeah.
But Talk to Me was really good. And then the Reanimator late night, which was in a way, a dedication to Corey, which is really cool mm-hmm. to see like movie trailers for other movies played that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't mind seeing Lady Terminator play. And
definitely
Velocipastor.
Yeah, I've seen Velocipastor. What was Nightbreed? That would be great to see too. That was pretty cool to see experience. People like really dug the Lady Terminator trailer, which is really cool. That was a great night. A great tip of the hat and remembrance for Corey and just a lovely evening. And I did get to see the Old Boy 4K restoration, which did really well with sales. Yeah. And that was really cool to see people. I went to the Saturday night showing, which I think had like 75 or 80 people. And that was great. And then it played the next night on a Sunday night and it sold like 120 tickets. It was kind of crazy, but great to see that do really well. That's one of those movies like you kind of ask the person next to you if they've seen it, and you hope they answer no. And then you ask them, do you know anything about it? And you hope they answer no again. And then you sort of just like experience that movie with them. And so that was really great to see. I think that's one of the great movies of the new century. And that was my August. Not a lot, but just really a bunch of heavy hitters.
Yeah. I had a really good time in August. I had a lot of fun with the movies that I had seen at the state. Starship Troopers was great to see on the big screen. That was a ton of fun. Like, I love that movie as it is. And then kind of this was the first time that I had seen it on the big screen and just had a blast with it. I forgot just how much I loved it until sitting through it and watching it this time. The triple feature was really nice because, you know, I had just watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure like shortly before it was playing at the States, but I was like, all right, well, I'll go watch it again. Why not? And just had a really good time. And then, yes, the Lakota Nations versus United States documentary was excellent. I really enjoyed the sing-along version of Grease, except it was weird because I was just like, I think I asked you, Derek, like, do they have the audio like pumped in there so it sounds like the audience is singing?
And yeah, there are vocals added to the sing-along version of the movie to kind of make the audience feel more comfortable with singing along. So that was very much intentional.
That was like, it was the weirdest thing because it was like, oh wow, we're getting into it. And then I'm like, no, we're not. This has got to be like attached to the movie. This has got to be movie sound. The Reanimator, everything to go along with Reanimator was great. That screening was just a ton of fun. It was nice to have, you know, one more kind of salute to Corey because, wow, it was just a wonderful night. And then Slaughterhouse. I would probably say that Slaughterhouse was my favorite experience in the theater in 2023, just because it was such an unexpected movie. Definitely not the best movie I saw in 2023, but because I expected nothing out of it and had so much fun, I will never forget that screening.
And I think part of that, too, is, again, that movie was opening that night. So everybody in that crowd was discovering that movie together, which is something you can't necessarily say for other late night shows or things of that nature. So I think that when, and of course, the movie is very tongue in cheek and funny with it as well. It was kind of the perfect mix of elements to get a screening like that. And I would agree. I definitely want to call it that because I would agree that that's certainly one of the most memorable state evenings for me was getting to see that with that crowd.
Yeah. I will say, like, I worked that movie and out of any movie that I worked this year or last year, that was the one where the crowd came up, the crowd came out, and they were all just like buzzing. Like out of any movie, that was the one where they're just like, "Oh my gosh, is this gonna play again?" Like, you know, a lot of that, you know, like people really like got on its wavelength. And of course, like, you know, the one guy, have you guys seen that episode of Seinfeld where George tries to like make the joke in the theater and everyone's like, "No, dude, like get out." It kind of felt like that a little bit, where it was like, you know, "No, we like the laser guy better. Like, you know, please leave."
So, that's right. Anyways,
So no, I, out of all the movies that I worked this year, that was the one where people were like, "Oh my gosh, like this needs to play again." So I, you know, it'd be cool to see that like play as a late night, maybe like down the line, you know, where people get are a little tuned up. But yeah, that's it was super cool that did really well.
Yeah, ton of fun, Slaughterhouse. September, I did. Looking at my list, I didn't go there, go to the state that much. So what all played? What did I miss?
Yeah, before we get into September, since you guys talked about Reanimator as the like Corey Memorial screening, I did want to go back and mention that we also did have, back in mid-July, we actually had a memorial service for Corey at the State Theater. The first memorial service I've ever been to at a movie theater, which was notable in itself. But it was also a very good night. You know, a lot of, you know, the local film fans showed up for it. The theater was adorned with selfies of Corey in front of the state marquee. Andy, you had an incredible speech reminiscing on Corey and using movies that were dear to him, you know, like Magnolia and Bad CGI Sharks, you know, to kind of summarize his life. That was a unique night, at least in our history of the State Theater as well, and so I just wanted to give that a little moment to shout that out as well.
Yeah, a really really special, really meaningful night. Man, it's all right, so it's gonna sit, this is gonna sound, I don't know, silly, but it's like as wonderful as that experience was and as nice as it was, it was certainly probably the most bittersweet evening of all, because you know we were saying goodbye to a very dear friend, and I think I don't want to speak for you guys, but I think certainly the thoughts of Corey pretty much for the entire rest of the year, it's like his presence will never be gone. I think he certainly left an impact on my life, and I imagine on your guys' lives as well. Yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And yeah, that was a tough but beautiful evening at the state.
All right. No good segue back into September, but here we go.
Yeah.
More new releases that month. Probably the big one for me was Theater Camp, which again was another movie that Disney put out in theaters in like July or thereabouts, and of course never made it to town, but it did ultimately make it to the State Theater, and that was great because that was just a ball of fun. I think I saw it there twice. Other new releases that month, The Unknown Country, the state getting into the Lily Gladstone spirit of things a whole month and a half before Killers of the Flower Moon came out. Scrapper with Harris Dickinson, one of the Harris Dickinson state movies this month, as or this year, as Blake noted to me. Also, 1001.
You can reveal
that
message if you want to, Derek. You can reveal it.
No. That's your message. We'll get to that later. We also have other notable things. The Big Chill, which I think I remember because that was like my 500th movie that I saw at the State Theater. So that was crazy. We had
which
a goofy
one was
movie,
it, Derek?
The Big Chill.
Okay.
We had a goofy movie at the State Theater, which was just for pure nostalgia from my childhood. That was fun. As was fellow 1985 yuck-filled film Billy Madison. The first Clint Eastwood movie at the State, Unforgiven. Nice. And then, as Andy mentioned earlier, Silent Movie Day at the State Theater with Harold Lloyd's The Freshman and the 1925 version of The Phantom of the Opera, which is really cool because before each of those movies, the pre-show was set up as if it was an old-timey 1920s pre-show with like newsreels and like interstitial title cards instead of trailers for upcoming movies. It was a really impressive presentation of those silent movies. And so I'm sure they'll do it again, you know, in years to come. But the way they kind of went all out for those pair of silent movies was very, very cool. Awesome. And that's September.
Yeah, bummed that I missed Silent Film Day. I will definitely have to make sure that I make it if, you know, if it gets carried on, the tradition gets carried on into this next year. Blake, how was your September?
It was great. I didn't see a single movie.
Gotcha. Yeah, I made it to two. I saw Theater Camp and loved it, and then made it to Up in Smoke, and I don't like that movie. I don't particularly care for Up in Smoke. It was fine as far as like cultural relevance is concerned, but it did not land for me the way I'd hoped it would. So yeah, not a huge Up in Smoke fan. That's all I've got to say about the month of September.
All right. Well, I'm sure you guys will have plenty to talk about in October. And I'm just going to run down the entire list because I want to make sure every movie gets its due as part of the ever-intensive Halloween lineup. So we had 1995's Casper, The Innocence with Deborah Kerr, The Silence of the Lambs, Ghostbusters 2, the first late night of the month, Brain Damage, Diabolique, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Poltergeist, the second late night, which was Friday the 13th for the final chapter, The Craft, Dial M for Murder, let me get my page switched here, Sweeney Todd, Hocus Pocus, the third late night, Child's Play, Scary Movie, the 1956 Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Gore Verbinski's The Ring, The Return of Young Frankenstein, the late night mystery movie, Motel Hell, The Addams Family, the state premiere of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and of course, finally, the state's Halloween night staple, the 1978 Halloween. So, again, they go all out with October. It's just jam-packed of titles. A number of the titles I listed here only had one showing that month. That's just how jam-packed it was. But a lot of good stuff. So I'll let you guys tear into it.
Well, Blake, I want you to start off with this because there was a movie that was not mentioned in Derek's recap that I think you are responsible for. Blake, how was your October?
Well, it was really good. I don't know if I can talk about this movie. Well, the only reason is because, like, private parties, like, you know, like if they're not advertised, then, you know, you can't really promote that it was shown. So I don't know if I can actually talk about the movie. However,
gotcha.
I can talk about the night.
Yes.
Here's what I'll say. If anybody that wasn't there wants to know what the movie was, they can DM me and I can tell them what it was. It's by an English director. I had this idea of like programming a movie night for friends that was like really like an event more than anything. And my personal life got really busy and I couldn't do what I wanted to do. So I had a backup movie, and this backup movie I just decided to like show trailers for, and of just movies that I just like, I don't hear people like really talking a lot about that I really like. And so, yeah, I had a private birthday party and I showed some, I think I showed a great movie. It's one of my favorite movies. I chose it because I saw it in theaters in its initial run when literally no one else in the world even saw it. And it's one of my favorite like theater going experiences. And I wanted people to kind of like take that journey with me. and maybe see how I saw it back in the day, because a lot of you guys, you just hadn't seen it, and it was like, well, I don't want these guys watching this movie at home. I want them to see it on a big screen. And so yeah, I programmed this movie, and I just, like, I don't know, it was great. I the movie, like, it's visually overwhelming. It's really loud. It's very big. There's images that, like, just I've never seen in other movies before, and it was great to see on the big screen. And I think I designed a really cool intro for the whole night, and yeah. That was a lot of fun to experience. And as you guys know, and I'm already planning for the next year's one, which is going to be like a big, big party. And I'm really excited. It was a really great night, and I think there's about 35 or so people that showed up, and that was a lot of fun. And it was just a great night, and I'm really excited for next year, or I should say this year. So
yeah. Yeah, I apologize if I spoke no, it's out fine. Of turn.
I was going to ask Steven if I could bring up the title, and I completely forgot to. He sure. just mentioned in the past that it's kind of like, if the movie's not advertised, like you know. So I just don't want to.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about it, you know, in a specific way. So,
well, I will just say that experience was a wonderful evening. Everything from start to finish, just a ton of fun. Glad that was my first chance to see that movie, because that was a perfect way to watch it. It was chilling, like just a chilling motion picture. But yeah, I thought everything else was great. And I thought the movie was great too, but man, I had a ton of fun with that screening. The Motel Hell surprise screening, which yours was set up as a surprise screening as well.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a blast, a really fun month. And then the audience participation screening of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Man, that was also, would also be up high on my list of my favorite, theatrical experiences for the year. Because the audience was super into it. Just a blast. It's always fun to yell at the screen, so I was glad that we got to do that. That was where it's like George Costanza. Everybody's a George Costanza. Some of the jokes hit and some of the jokes don't, but you just kind of throw stuff out there and see how it goes.
Yep.
But yeah,
yep.
I had a blast with that. Great time.
All right.
Let's move on to November.
Cool. We're almost done.
I'm just gonna preface the rest of this by saying Rocky Horror was the last movie I saw at the state last year. So, I'm just gonna sit back and listen to you guys talk about movies for a little bit. So,
All right. November. Getting out of the Halloween lineup and getting back into the new release swing of things. It kicked off with one of my favorite 1-2 punches of a weekend. With the state's run of Barbie combined with the return of Stop Making Sense in its new 4K restoration. That was fun to see those movies together. Also on the new release front, the state brought in to Sioux Falls for the first time Anatomy of a Fall, which crowds showed up in droves for that movie as well, which was really cool to see. A pair of Netflix releases. We got to see David Fincher's The Killer. On the big screen, we also got Naiad, which may or may not be an Oscar player. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Other titles that month, more Disney stuff, Little Mermaid, Pinocchio, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which is a movie. And then the start of the holiday season with the long-awaited state debut on Thanksgiving night of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which played to 4 sold-out crowds. I was at 2 showings. I know Andy was at one of them. It was a huge, huge hit. And it sounds like we might get this again in future Thanksgiving. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. The night that I saw it was just a wonderful experience. I saw that, and I think I saw Gremlins beforehand too, so I was there for both of them. And just How wonderful. I knew going into it that I loved Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but there was just something about seeing it at that screening that I was like, with the audience fully invested, it was just flying on all cylinders. Just an absolute blast. Loved it. Loved that movie. And then, yeah, Anatomy of a Fall. What a movie. Probably one of the best courtroom dramas, probably so far this decade. But just really, really an incredible movie. Look forward, if you haven't seen it yet, Blake, I look forward to you watching it and kind of giving your thoughts on it. But
So
I had a blast.
I actually had a friend who gave me a screener of it, so I was able to watch it at home. Yeah, I've seen
Nice.
it. Yeah.
Did you like that one?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Good.
The dog is really good, so
Yeah. Best dog acting. Best dog performer of the
And
year.
like
But yeah.
I wasn't expecting like a 50 Cent song to be like an integral part of the plot. And so like that really threw me off hearing that over and over and over again. So
I tried to find that steel drum cover of PIMP, and so I played it played it at my house, and I'm still alive, so that's
That's good. That's good to hear.
good. All right, December.
All right. Before we go there, I did want to double
Oh, sure.
back on Stop Making Sense because this is a movie that almost sold out its showings as well.
Awesome.
And I thought it was kind of interesting because I know neither of you guys were at the November showings of Stop Making Sense, but you guys were at the original showing of Stop Making Sense in July of 2021. And as someone who went to both runs of it, I thought it was very fascinating because our showing in 2021 was, I mean, there was an okay turnout, but it was still kind of sparse. But when it played just a few couple months ago, crowds were very full. I know I shared with you that Steven actually recorded an introduction for the movie, basically telling people to like, yeah, go ahead, get it. This is a concert movie. We're gonna play it loud. Get up and dance if you want to go dance, go to the back of the theater. And both of the times that I saw the movie, there were some dedicated folks that did go to the back of the theater and actually, either just danced throughout or, just stood there hanging out like it was a concert. It was a very cool vibe. And in stark contrast to the more presentational movie-like screening we had a few years ago, I think that to me was like one of the more indicative like ways like where the state has grown and adapted, recognizes every movie as kind of like its own special entity for what it was. And it's the movie itself is just a banger and one that is worth bringing back every handful of years, so forth. And then as I said, that one combined with Barbie, which again, for a movie that had been out for 4 months and which everybody had pretty much seen at that point, that movie could still play at the state and basically sell out four showings in early November was also very endearing, and that was kind of its own kind of audience event as well, where we did have people come out in pink and all that stuff. So it was nice to have these kinds of event showings as well in the mix, or at least, where we can have these special things go on for stuff like that. So that's all I had to say about that. So yeah, December. Most of these movies that played this month are ones that have played at the state before. They're old durable stuff. So Planes, Trains, Automobiles, Elf, The Grinch from 2018, Gremlins, Christmas Vacation, The Holiday, It's a Wonderful Life, Die Hard, White Christmas, Home Alone, Polar Express, which is the only like non-late night Christmas movie premiere of the month. We had one late night, which was Don't Open Till Christmas from 1984, the British movie about a killer Santa who kills other Santas. We also had The Return of the Room this month. Greg Sestero showed back up, gave a partial commentary over the movie this time around, with details and perfectly timed jokes and all of that stuff, which is really fun. We also had May December play at the state, which is again, I enjoy when these Netflix movies get to play on a big screen, something that I wouldn't have had the opportunity otherwise. And so that was cool. We also had Nick Cage in Dream Scenario, which also had some big crowd turnout for that. We had the surprise special edition theatrical reissue restored of The Abyss, which I was gaga over, if anybody who knew me back then. And then we had The Holdovers, a movie that, again, this continues the theme, another movie that opened nationwide in like early mid-November, and for whatever reason kept eluding Sioux Falls. And so ultimately the state was able to book it for 8 straight days, Christmas Day through New Year's Day. And Sioux Falls showed up for it. All 8 showings sold out. I know I went 4 nights in a row to the Holdovers because it is just such an awesome crowd experience. And it was great. It was kind of the culmination of, like for this art house type fair. If you play it in Sioux Falls, people will show up for it, to the extent where the Holdovers was the state's single most attended movie of 2023, which I thought was just really, really cool. So that was that. We also had Lady and the Tramp, After Christmas, Sunset Boulevard, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and the annual New Year's Eve night showing of When Harry Met Sally. So that is December and 2023 as a whole.
December, I didn't make it out a whole lot. I did see Dream Scenario, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. Also watched Home Alone in the Room. Got to sit next to Greg Sestero during the screening of Home Alone. So that was a ton of fun just to kind of chat with him and then chat with him longer. Chat with him, of course, like doing the intro to the room, and then afterwards, as he was cleaning up, kind of talk with him for a little bit longer and help him, walk with him to his rental car and chatted with him and just had a really great, I don't know, it was just a ton of fun to get to have a cool chat with him, where it's just, talking about movies and talking about his experiences and just a lovely, lovely guy, that Greg Sestero. So, had a blast. That was a good way to wrap up my 2023 at the State Theater. So that's pretty much what was screening there. I'm curious for you guys. And I think we kind of talked about it as we were going along, but like, were there things that particularly stood out to you? As far as like your experiences, like what your favorite experience at the state was this year, or even just movies that it was like, maybe it was just a regular trip to the theater and you just sat and watched a movie, but the movie was so special that that stood out. Were there more experiences like that for you guys that you could think of? And Blake, I'll start with you since you've been quiet for the last couple of months.
Well,
what was your
For me, I just I love my coworkers there, and in a way, that's kind of become like our little community. And I, I'm not the expert on this, but there hasn't been a lot of turnover in terms of employees there recently, and so it's kind of nice, even though like I'm working there less right now, just because trying to figure out a rhythm with new family member and all that stuff, but. It's so nice to come in and see the same people and like you guys don't know this, but like now there's kind of like this competition between coworkers of who can have the least amount of popcorn on the floor. And so it's like so there's kind of like people are posting pictures in our private chat about like, oh, this is how much popcorn I had and this is how much I had, and everyone's like, critiquing like how much popcorn. And so like there's like a lot of camaraderie now between people, and like a lot of people like help out if someone can't come in for their shift, and a lot of a lot of just coming together, and it's just one big family. And Derek, you were at the Christmas party a few weeks ago. It just seems like everyone like loves being around each other, loves to hang out with each other, and loves to just talk with one another, and like get these people into the theater. as best we can, as nice as we can. And it's just so nice being there, you know. Like, yeah. I wish I could be there all the time, you know. I want to win the lottery just so like I can just take my kids to school, drop them off, and then I'm just go there and just like, I don't know, like go there and read a book.
Yeah.
Go there and walk around and like look at the corners and look at the dust and not, you know, like in the back rooms and like, you know, just be there and soak in the history. And it's just a lovely place to be. And I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know that. So
yeah.
It's just, I just, you know, like, yeah, I saw a lot less movies there than I have in previous years, but you know, like helping people see movies there and it's just such a privilege. And it's something that like, it's really cool to like, in a way, like all three of us are kind of like etching our own like history with that place. Mm-hmm. And to be sort of like, to be, I don't know if stuck up is the right word, but like to be that way about it, it's sort of like, it's, I hope someday people look back and are kind of like, oh, that guy helped me see a movie there, that guy served me there.
Yeah.
Or I saw that guy in the back row, you know, he was there for a lot of movies. Or I saw that guy introduce this so and so before this movie. And you know, like, yeah, it's really cool to like have this community there. And you know, like we the three of us have like these internal talks, you know, off mic a lot, where it's like, man, it's cool to see the community grow, you know. Now like our friend Parker now works in the theater. It's so cool to see him like just, and you know, like, you know, he's planning a party now there. And you know, like we sort of met Dylan now, who is there a lot.
Yeah.
And like, he loves to be there and loves movies. And like, you know, I want to see more of that. I want to see more people come in and like, oh, hey guys, like you're the guys that I guess I'm going to hang out with and talk movies with. And I just want, I'm excited to see like who those next people are, you know, like,
yes,
that we get to sort of bring in. And I just want more and more people, you know, to come in and just grow that. You know, I want the State Theater to be that home of cinema in Sioux Falls. And I think it is. I just, yeah, you know, we just want to keep pushing it and not get, not rest on our laurels at all, you know, like keep pushing forward. So
yeah,
that's my big hope.
No, that's great. Derek, same kind of question to you. And I think, Blake, you kind of, you know, when you answered that question, you kind of took what my next question was what do you want for the future of the state? And I think that's a big thing. We always kind of talk about that each year, about what we would like to see going into the next year. And our answer is never really about what movies we want to see there, just that we want the sense of community to grow. And I'm right there with you. I think it's I am not as much of a social butterfly as I once was. And so getting to go to the state and talk with you guys and talk with the people who kind of come up and say hi about the movie, like that's my big socialization these days, outside of doing the podcast. And it's like, it's just so nice to kind of have that, that growing community. And so Derek, I'll ask you then both of those questions, like what did you enjoy the most in this year? And then what do you kind of look forward to for the future for the state?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hit upon a lot of the highlights as we went through it. I think I ended up doing the calculation at the end of the year, and I realized that I'd went there 252 times this year, which is bananas. but you know, a lot of it comes down to, and you know, people who know me know, like, I like big, you know, for the most part, I like big crowd experiences. I like when there's the energy in the room and you've got a crowd there, whether it's like, you know, a summer blockbuster or a prestige drama or a holiday movie. You know, every movie that can kind of fill up all of those seats and bring its own unique vibe to the place, you know, I just enjoy those experiences. Mm-hmm. And Blake kind of tackled the family-ish thing as well. You know, the fact that, you know, that I hang out at stuff like, you know, the various private parties, birthdays, whatever, you know, holiday party, whatever, despite never having actually worked at the theater, at least not in an official capacity. But it kind of shows to the whole familial aspect of it, which is very cool and very charming. You know, and as we get started with 2024, the theater is kicking butt quite a bit already. Because I know we are all at showings of Godzilla Minus One, which sold out every single show that weekend. Andy and I were at Maestro, which had huge crowds and I think has set the record for the most attended Netflix movie at the state thus far. Even like this past weekend with people braving the crowd or braving the cold to, you know, pack in showings of The Iron Claw. Again, a movie that's played at the multiplexes throughout the Christmas and New Year holiday, but a lot of people still waited to see it at the State Theater. A lot of people showed up for it. You know, we're only 2 weeks in, but the signs are very, very promising, you know, and as we get, you know, and we're going to be in the thick of it beforehand because, you know, the big Oscar movies are coming. You know, I can't wait to see Oppenheimer eventually come to the State Theater or Killers of the Flower Moon. That's going to be great times. You know, we'll have a director series before you know it. It'll be April Fools and we'll have a mystery movie. You know, the winter into the spring gets me very, very excited. You know, and, you know, that's the fun thing about the state. You know, every week, every weekend is a series of new adventures. And, you know, that just makes things, you want to keep a pulse on it. And, you know, can't wait to see what happens. You know, even if it's, you know, even if you're not invested in like specific titles, you know, you're just excited to see what the theater does to continue on. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it is my favorite thing about the state is absolutely the people there, both as far as the employees, the volunteers, and the audience members who are there. It's just such a nice isn't even the right word for it. It's such a wonderful experience to be able to walk through the door and see people that you know, see people that recognize you, get a nice greeting from the people that are working, have a nice conversation pretty much as soon as you walk through the door, and just feel like you are a part of something that is special and that is treated special. I always think of the movie theater as like, you know, not necessarily a church, but still kind of like my holy space. You know, it's a special place for me. And I feel like that sort of reverence is across the board with the people at the state. And I think it's kind of treated like this place that can make us all happy, place that can make us all kind of come together. And that's just constantly my favorite thing about the theater is just how great everyone is and how dedicated everyone is to making it the best experience, the best cinematic experience in town. And it is, it 100% is. Like it's hard for me. It's a lot harder for me to convince myself to go to a movie at like the local theater chain than it is to, you know, convince myself to go to a movie at the state. I will go to the state, you know, as frequently as I can, especially if I have the option. You know, it's like, oh, I can either go see this movie at the state or I can go see it at Cinemark, unless it's The Iron Claw, and then I have to go see it right away. But I will be at The Iron Claw tomorrow, so it's okay. But yeah, I love that theater. I love everything that it kind of stands for, and my hopes are that it just continues to grow. I hope that more people who have not been there before make it out. I hope the people who keep going back, or the people who've been there keep going back. And I just hope that it somehow, like, I don't know, becomes this kind of recognized as this incredible castle for movies. Like this is the place to go to see a movie in town, to experience a movie in town, to have that sense of community regarding movies. So that's my grand aspiration for the state. And I think as we can tell by the numbers of people who have been attending over the holiday season, I think it's well on its way to just pumping those numbers up even higher than they are now. So, State Theater, we love you. Anything else you guys want to talk about as far as the state is concerned, or as far as I guess the year in movie going is concerned?
I'm kind of talked out. I mean,
Yeah,
that's a lot of
I
stuff that we
get you.
crammed into there, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I get you. I think we covered it. So we'll start wrapping things up then. Thank you all for listening. Blake, where can people find your presence online?
Oh boy. Let's see. Letterboxd.
Yeah.
The real John G is my username. Instagram, Blake G underscore 5150, and Facebook, Blake Innathan. Yeah.
Awesome. Derek, where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Derek Vering. You can find me on Instagram at DERV Dude. That's DERV Dude. You can find me on the Letterboxd, also on DERV Dude. I'm technically on Twitter. I'm technically on Threads. I'm technically on Blue Sky, in the sense that those accounts exist, even though I never really post anything to those. But if you want to find me, you can find me there. I think that's it.
Yeah, you can follow all things Fat Dude Digs Flicks on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Letterboxd, whatever social media. Just do a search for Fat Dude Digs Flicks, and you will find me there. Subscribe to this podcast, rate and review this podcast, share this podcast with your friends. I've got a feeling we're going to keep doing this no matter what, but it's always awesome to have more listeners. The best way to get more listeners is with your help. So if you know somebody who might like this show, please share that with them. If you subscribe using Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating or a review because that also helps get more listeners. If you do subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, not only do you get this podcast, but you also get Let's Talk About, which is a chat show where I am joined by a guest. We talk about their life, their loves, and a movie that has had an impact on them. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I'll get to the last little bit. I'm going to throw that in at the end because I want to make sure I include that. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please send an email to fatdudediggsflicks@gmail.com. Recommendations, want to be a guest on the show, anything like that, please send it there. Subscribe to our friends, the Screams from the Basement podcast, the Local Lou podcast. Any local Sioux Falls podcasts that are you know doing their thing, please subscribe to them. And one last little announcement: there is a side project, another podcast in the works. I'm going to turn it over to you guys to kind of hype that up a little bit, if you'd like.
I guess I'll take this since it's kind of my it kind of came from me. So we're starting a new show. Title, we've decided on the title. Is that the title we're gonna go with?
I'm cool with that title. I think it
Okay, I
works.
like it. I think it's
Yeah,
good.
I like it too.
It's
Have we done a search?
classy.
Have we done a search to see if it already exists? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, no.
I mean,
Okay,
not.
so okay,
I think we're
ten.
good. I mean, because
Okay.
I searched, there's like a very, very old podcast that doesn't have the, and which
Okay.
ended in like 2017. So I think
Okay.
we're good. We're good.
Good. Okay. So we're calling the show The Balcony, and this sort of stemmed from, I guess how I saw it is I personally, and I guess I think you guys do too. You guys watch we all watch way more movies that are not art house, independent, Criterion Collection related. And I have a need to get this stuff out where so basically I watched the Craig Zoller movie Dragged Across Concrete, and I was like, I have a lot to say about this movie, and I have no one to really talk about this with on a format. And I kind of came to you guys and I said, hey, let's start something where it's a random talk about movies. We're like whatever we want. This is just going to be like, hey, what did we watch? For how, you know, we haven't really decided how many episodes a month we're going to do or whatever, but like, it's like, what have we watched since the last time we've talked? And I've kind of been looking at this show as like, it's going to be freeform jazz where we might talk about what we just watched over the past couple weeks. We might pick a topic. Derek and I share an affinity for movies that take place in one day, one night, and we might do something where we all pick a movie about a movie that takes place in one night and we talk about that, or we talk about one director, or we have a guest on where we just talk about, you know, movies, whatever. We have really no set agenda, and it's going to change from week to week, and I'm just really excited to just talk about movies in general.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of see it as a, you know, a venue for us to get anything and everything out that we want to get out there, you know, especially as we get into some of our beloved topics, like, you know, it's the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We're talking about awards season. You know, Blake and I have done an awards type episode thing before on this show before, but we've got more we want to say on that. You know, mm-hmm. Blake and I will put together like our best of 2023 list as soon as we see the remainder of the movies. Yeah. And then there's just random stuff. I've got like a good 5 to 10 minutes. Whenever we do our first episode, I want to spend a good 5 to 10 minutes talking about Jason Statham's The Beekeeper, which is already in the running for the most insane movie I've seen in
2024. I just watched a TV spot for that where it showed a scene of a guy getting dragged off a bridge tied to a truck. And then it cuts to Jason Statham smiling to the camera. And I was like, I need to see this. So I'm really psyched to hear your thoughts on that and then also see the movie. So
So again, you see, like, the typical Jason Statham vehicle doesn't really fit into a Criterion podcast.
Yes.
But we have to make a podcast for that. So it's a win-win scenario all around.
I need to gush about the bank job on somewhere. So so we're really excited. It's because it's going to be like no set expectations. Like I said, we really have no idea like what a schedule is going to be like. It might be a thing where like Derek and I think of something and we just jump on and record something. it might be something where we plan. We're shooting. I think for my taste for now, it's like at least one per month. And then we'll go about
maybe
that.
Maybe more.
Maybe more.
It might be more early on. We'll see where the spirit takes us.
Yeah. So just really excited to talk about movies in general. And just it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just exciting to have kind of a random roundtable experience where it's just kind of all movies are up for grabs instead of like, you know, the show is geared towards Criterion. The other show is geared towards, you know, whatever particular movie that guest wants to talk about. And this is kind of more like, you know, not necessarily a free for all, but it could be. It could be. But it's just fun to kind of like. You know, I know that we have a lot of fun on the episodes where we just kind of talk about, you know, what Criterion movies we've watched. And it's not like, a specific assignment, just kind of like what fun things we enjoy and what we watch. So I think this is going to be more ad lib of just us enjoying the conversation about movies. I'm going to kind of like sit a little bit in the back on this one just because I talk a lot as it is. And I'm going to try and shut up a little bit more, but I'm so excited to be involved in this and excited to put another podcast on this network because as many movie conversations as we can have, I'm 100% for it. So cannot wait for the balcony to open. Ooh, that's a clever little catchphrase. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Criterion Break. Thank you so much for listening. Blake, do you want to tell the lovely people good night?
Good night and good luck.
You've been listening to the Criterion Break. thank you for listening to Fat Dude Digs Flicks.